Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 192. I am joined this week by Justin.
Hello.
And Dan.
Hello.
This week we are going to be talking about we're mostly going to focus on the Terminator, but we probably are going to touch on the Terminator franchise as a whole. Why the Terminator, you might randomly ask. This goes up on October 24th. This Sunday, October 26th, will mark the 30th anniversary of the original release of the Terminator films in the United States. And being that is one of the biggest 80s films of all times and one of my personal favorite films, I figured why that's such a good opportunity to go. Kind of kick it off with, I guess what we usually do when we do this. What was your first experience with the Terminator franchise?
Mine was a couple of years ago. I don't know when exactly. High school, at some point. I watched the first Terminator.
Oh, so you actually started with the first one.
Yeah, dog.
Interesting.
It was cool.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for a second. But a lot of people... when you mention Terminator, a lot of people tend to think of T2. Because T2 is one of those seminal films that people talk about, especially when it comes to groundbreaking special effects. What about you, Justin?
I want to say that mine was Terminator 2. I remember watching it in my mom's room when I was a kid, like the last 15-ish minutes or so. I remember really liking... I remember liking the scene like in the reactor where the Terminator puts his thumbs up at the end.
The infamous scene.
Yeah, sorry, I was just been distracted by Mordor. But yeah, I really like that scene.
I now know why you cry, but I cannot. I say that all the time. I understand it, I still don't get it. And as for me, I honestly don't remember my first exposure with the franchise. I honestly think it might have been T3, when that came out in theaters, which was like early, 2000, it's either 2001 or 2003. It was either near the...
Was it 2003 or 2004?
It's 2003.
Wow. We obviously all know.
Okay.
Yeah. I figured that because it was either at the start of the school or the end of school, and I went with my friends to the theater, and yeah, so that was kind of my first exposure, which, when in hindsight, is really, really awkward, not necessarily because the quality of the film, but more because it is a very connective narrative, and it builds on everything that's come before it, especially T3, which builds heavy on the events of T2. That was my first exposure with it. And over time, I went back and forth and up and down. Because, like most things, Terminator...
Keeps sucking you back in.
I was going to say that. And I was going to say it's a franchise by time travel, which means that the storyline of the franchise is actually pretty kind of wonky as well. And that kind of that happens with T3, because T3 is one timeline, and then technically speaking, so the Sarah Connor Chronicles is an alternate timeline.
Yes, that's the one where T3 basically didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they have a joke in the show about that. Well, not necessarily a joke, but a plot point where Sarah Connor dies in between T2 and T3. And at the start of the Sarah Connor Chronicles, they jump over that point, and the Terminator mentions it to her, is that she dies of cancer, which is how she dies in between 2 and 3.
I remember them like kind of hinting towards that at the end, but they never really followed up on it.
Because it got canceled prematurely.
Yeah.
The summer of the Eagles.
I think that, and it just wasn't interesting.
I thought it was more... I actually liked that show. I thought it was more interesting than...
I like the show. Just that particular plot line just wasn't interesting compared to everything else that was happening at the time.
And not to spend too much time on that show. I also found it funny that he was like hanging out with his uncle dad.
Oh, God. Can we...
It's funny. It's funny because I hate time travel as a conceit. It's just really, it just causes way too many problems that a lot of things either don't take into account or just ignore completely. And it's with that said, it's kind of funny that Terminator has become one of my favorite, I don't want to say franchises, because I actually haven't really enjoyed much since Sarah Connor Chronicles, but it has become one of those things that I do check in with all the time. And like I said, time travel is at the heart of it. Which brings us to the fall of 1984 with the original Terminator. This was, I mean, it's one of those films that you, okay, one, I was going to say it's one of those films you look back on and you don't realize how cheap it was, but you could see the budget on the screen. You could tell they took a lot of shortcuts. What did you say, Justin?
I thought you were going to say dated.
Oh, it is extremely dated, especially that opening sequence when they're showing the flash forward into the, I guess, the future. That robot, because it's models, it's not CG or anything, and it's like the 80s were very big on clay models, and those things do not hold up as well, at all. It's the same problem with RoboCop and the, what is the evil robot in RoboCop called?
It's 209, is that right?
Something like that. But yes, those scenes do not hold up that well.
I really hope I'm right, just so I can spite you.
Why would you spite me?
So just so I finally have like something over you that you
some
don't
leverage
have.
You don't.
Yes.
Because I don't remember a specific name of one robot in a single film franchise.
Let him have this.
In a dated franchise, no one cares about anymore.
Ouch.
Ed 209, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is also, I don't want to say it was James Cameron's first big hit. He had Aliens before this.
Yeah, that's true.
And Arnold was in a few things before this. I don't know.
Was this before or after Total Recall?
This is before Total Recall.
Okay.
Basically, Arnold's resume before this was like Hercules in New York, Conan.
What?
Hercules in New York.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah.
Like classic tale of a boxer down on his luck. Meets a dog, has a great time. Just made that a lot.
No, I think it's really what the title says. And then he did Conan and Conan the Destroyer, and then Terminator, which is kind of really what kickstarted his career, which is also kind of funny in hindsight because he became so popular off of this film, he often doesn't play the villain in movies anymore, even though that was what he was in this film. I believe, I don't have the exact count, but I believe there's something like he has 6 lines total in the original Terminator movie, and almost all of those are iconic now. Give me your crows. I'll be back.
Yeah. I mean, being just an action hero in general, most of his lines are pretty prolific, I guess.
Yeah, it's just
a lot
that.
Of movies.
It's just.
End.
Yes, I think that's in 2, though.
Yeah, no, I was just doing iconic lines.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just that you when you think about it, like, you know, like, an average person in a film has hundreds of lines. The fact that you have like 6 and like all of them become iconic things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you can't watch an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie nowadays without some type of reference to I'll be back.
Yeah.
I think he's in the Expendables film.
God damn.
Yeah, I was about to say he's in the Expendables, and I believe he says I'm back or something like that.
And then Bruce Willis is like, you've been back long enough, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger is just like, yippee ki yay. that's literally a lot. That's literally something that someone like was paid to write. And it infuriates me.
Well, it's funny. I've always been curious about this, and it's probably a discussion for another day in another podcast. But I've always been curious if people write stuff on the page and wonder like, this is going to be the line that becomes synonymous with this character or with this film.
I think it depends on the movie or the franchise, I guess maybe.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but I wonder if like the writer who does that, if they ever think this is the line that's going to be
right. Like they write it knowing that it's going to
like
be
they think
the
it's
going to
be like they think it's going to be like trailer gift worth or gift worthy.
Yeah, because you know there are some lines that I'm sure people put in their films thinking it's going to be badass and it's going to resonate with fans, and it doesn't. And then there are some that just kind of seems to be whatever, and they go on to be... And, I mean, some of them aren't even written. Like, I mean, one of the most famous examples, and then we'll get back to Terminator, is the Star Wars, I Love You, I Know, was improv by Han... well, I was going to say Han Solo, but Harrison Ford.
Yeah, a lot of his lines were...
What was he supposed to say?
I don't know. Like, it's one of those things you never ask, because what you got was gold.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that it was like Peter and the Family Guy skit where he was just like, fuck you.
Oh, it was a kid's film. Well, I don't know if they classified it as such.
Was it a kid's film, though? I mean, I'm pretty sure kids don't like to see people get their hands chopped off.
That was the second one, and that got darker.
Yeah.
But I still think it was overall... Like, I mean, it's no different than... I mean, Harry Potter is a kid's franchise, and how many people die in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they kind of die in, like...
But they're relatable.
Dark... Yeah, but, well, they don't die in dark ways up until the last few movies.
So they die in dark ways, but just not dark enough for you?
Well, I mean, well, no, I mean, like, someone disintegrating, like, that's a common thing. But someone who, like,
wait,
gets
what?
Eaten by a snake, that's not exactly something that you see in a movie for kids.
Isn't that what happened in Harry Potter?
That's what I'm saying.
So, but that was the fourth
That's what I'm saying. What made them darker?
Yeah, but even some of the earlier deaths, like the one in the first movie where he basically burns that guy's head.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
Yeah. And then the second one when he stabs the dude, he stabs the book with a fang, and he kills the snake with a sword through the mouth.
I don't know. He stabs the book through the pen. That's a way to, like, you know. That's a term for literary censorship. It's an allegory for that.
I'm sure.
Read what you want to, kids. Don't let the system decide what's good for you and what isn't.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I think that turned out to be a joke. But let's get back on track to the film that we actually haven't talked about yet. Okay. The Terminator begins in the year 2029. As we see throughout the film, it is a war between man and machine, the Terminators, and mankind ensues. In a last-ditch effort, mankind turns the tide with the help of John Connor, and once the robot senses that they're losing, they decide to go back in time and to kill, not John Connor, but John Connor's mother before she gives birth to him.
Which is a great plan.
Which is not
like in a sarcastic way. It actually is like a pretty good plan.
Oh no, it is fantastic though. It creates one of those weird conceits of time travel. Is that why don't they just keep sending them back?
It depends on which time theory you subscribe to. I think a lot of pretty much all of these do really all time trial trying time travel.
Because I mean. Yeah, because I mean, at least they were smart enough to make it a plot point in Terminator 2, where she was off the grid. They had no address, so they couldn't find her to send them back. But I don't know why they couldn't continuously send them back to the time period that they sent the first one to. the Resistance gets word of this, and they send back a soldier of their own to help protect Sarah Connor. And who do they send back? Kyle Reese.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Kyle Reese, who turns out to, in a very, very, very timey-wimey plot twist, turns out to be the father of John Connor, who is only born because his father in the future sends him back into the past to have sex with his mom.
God, that's so weird.
Well, I mean, I don't think he sends him back knowing that he's his dad?
I mean, even so. It's just really weird when you think about it.
Nah.
Oh, it's extremely weird. Again, it's one of those conceits of time travel that's really strange. Because, technically speaking, John Connor shouldn't have been born the first time, because if Kyle Reese has to come from the future to be his dad, how did he originally impregnate Sarah?
Maybe it's a Futurama thing.
Explain.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going
to
bother.
It's just one of the time travel theory things. Whatever you have to subscribe to a certain belief.
Yeah, you just have to, like, it's like with X-Men, you kind of have to just, like, accept the bullshit and not focus too hard on it. Otherwise, it just completely takes you out of the movie.
So, as the Terminator and Kyle Reese come through, one of the things we learn is that inorganic material can't come through. So they both come through butt naked. And you get a really nice dose of 80s culture when Arnold goes into a club.
Mm-hmm.
That part is kind of dated. That stuff is always hard to say it's dated. It's dated. It's really dated. And it's hard to say, oh, they shouldn't. But it was the culture at the time. It made sense. It's just like 30 years removed. It's like, this is just really strange.
Yeah. Comes with the territory. There's nothing you can change about it.
Yeah.
Also, I guess while we're mentioning Naked Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I mentioned this earlier when I was watching The Flash, this is something that always kind of bothers me. It's not a pet peeve, it's just something I always find gross. He has no eyebrows in this film.
Has he ever had eyebrows before?
Yes.
Typically people do.
Yeah, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is a different...
No, he has eyebrows.
I mean, are we sure, though?
Yes, he has eyebrows and everything else. Yes, he has really bushy eyebrows.
I'm not saying I don't believe you.
No, I'm saying you are.
He does not have eyebrows in this film. I mean, granted, it doesn't matter because he spends most of the film wearing sunglasses.
Right.
But in this first scene, you notice he doesn't have any eyebrows, and I think he takes them off later on when he's fixing his eye.
As one does.
I'm always terrible with shot summaries, but kind of jumping ahead a bit. This was a really nice thing. The Terminator had a general idea, and I guess this is part of the reason they couldn't continue sending them back. The Terminator has a general idea of where Sarah Connor is, but not exactly where. So his strategy is to just go through the phone book.
Yeah, and wasn't Sarah Connor... Well, yes, in the universe of the films, like, kind of, sort of, like, not really common, but sort of, like, middle ground?
I think there's only three in the film. So, I mean, it's probably a common name if they search for it. They would probably be able to narrow down, like, maybe find John Connor's birth certificate. But, yeah, if you were to go into a town and you're like a Justin Carter, I'm assuming... You'll probably find more than one.
I tried that once as a kid where I was, I looked up Justin Carter, and, like, just in Kansas City alone, there was something like about 15.
Yeah, so.
Really, it's a freaking common ass name.
So instead of trying to figure out which one it is, he's just killing them in order of how they're listed in the phone book.
You can't say that's not. Thorough.
Oh, it's extremely thorough. It's also kind of, again, I don't want to say, it's just funny because I assume there's going to come a time when a generation wonders what a phone book is and what a phone booth is, which is what he uses for this scene. Neither one of those are really common anymore.
And we're not even at the point where the Terminator existed yet.
Yeah. Or are we? I mean, technically, they could be sent. They could be going to the past beyond us. Well, I mean, we are not at the point where they exist now, but they could exist before us, if that makes any sense.
That's dark and deep.
I'll allow it, I guess.
Well, not if you have any saying what is and isn't out.
Good point.
So yes, he I also like how he doesn't necessarily give them a chance to explain themselves. I believe the first one, he just kind of shoots through the door.
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't
he strangle the other one?
I don't remember how he gets rid of them. I just know he's not Egg. You know, like how sometimes you get in and the villains try to chat them up or something. He's like, no, I'm just going to kill you. Like, I mean, his job is termination.
I mean, he just goes like, is your name Sarah Connor? Yeah. This is like dead.
Yeah. And eventually he gets to Sarah Connor's house, apartment, and her roommate and her boyfriend's there. And this is pretty much straight out of a horror film. You don't have sex. The big bad stalker's gonna kill you.
It's true. Always happens.
He kills the boyfriend, and the girlfriend doesn't hear because she has a Walkman on and she's dancing all around.
God.
Yeah, that is kind of a trope of the 80s.
So weird.
Why?
Just that she would have her music on
Her Walkman.
Her Walkman on, and not be able to like hear her boyfriend just like getting murdered.
Well, I mean, it was some good music.
Yeah, it's exactly.
I guess
80s
so.
Music is fantastic. I mean, I wouldn't be upset with her being kind of engrossed by it.
Look at Guardians of the Galaxy.
Touché, son of a ball.
That's not my name.
Is it, though?
It's not.
Probably not.
Yeah, so, and this is a minor pet peeve of mine, but it's so coincidental that while he's killing the roommate, Sarah happens to call and leave a message on the answering machine detailing exactly where she is at the moment.
Like, hey, I'm at this address, you know, I'll be here from this time to this time.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she does. I mean, I understand they have to move the fast forward. It's just like, oh, he happens to be here at the exact time she calls. And kind of to jump back on that to kind of explain that. At this point, they kind of have a pattern down that they're calling the serial killer the Sarah Connor killer because he's killed two women named Sarah Connor at this point. And she tries to contact the police department, but they're being swarmed with phone calls. So she calls her roommate and moves forward. So, again, knowing nothing about Sarah Connor, Kyle Reese has to hang out at the bar that she's at. He knows exactly where she's at, but he doesn't know what she looks like. So he can't do anything.
Which is a great job, John, by the way.
Well, I assume it's probably for her protection. I mean, because look what happens when they know who his mom is. They send the robots back in time to kill her.
It's true. So
that probably makes sense to get rid of photos of her so nobody has any idea what she looks like. But yes. Though he could have just as easily shouted Sarah Connor into the bar and figured it out. Oh, but I guess the other thing is he also didn't know what the Terminator looked like.
Okay, I get what you mean.
Yeah, like the Terminator. Like if it looks like a giant robot, like it does at the end of the film, that would have been easy.
Right, but it's
right.
Someone who looks human.
Yeah. But yeah. So yes, the Terminator attacks. Kyle Reese is able to save her. They can't put him down. A car chase begins.
Dun 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 dun.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Was that from 2 or 1, though, that song?
I think the first one has it as well. I think 2 has a remix that people are more familiar with.
That probably sounds accurate. I just know there's the one scene where he comes out on the motorcycle and he's got, like, the shotguns in each hand and he's just, like, or in one hand and he's, like, boom, 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 and he's, like, cocking them back. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Total action star style.
Total action star style. I'm sure we are doing a fantastic job of recapping this movie for some people.
We really are.
That was pretty accurate to the scene. Dun 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 dun. They better hear that exact noise. Inflection and all.
So yes, I'm not going to go through this beat by beat because one, I honestly don't. I can never do a movie like that. I don't know. I never get how people can.
Yeah.
The gist of it, though, is it basically becomes a stalker film for the rest of the... I consider the first Terminator to kind of be an action horror film.
I would call it, like, thriller.
okay, Throya, which is still kind of in the horror genre. It's usually in a subgenre of horror.
I guess. I tend to differentiate the two, just because there can be weird things like this.
Oh, there can be. Because in essence, he's basically like Jason Voorhees. He's an unstoppable monster. Sarah Connor's technically the ass girl because Kyle dies at the end. Spoiler for a 30-year-old film.
Oh, no.
Wait, he dies?
Rip.
I don't know if he's being serious or not.
I'm being sarcastic.
I could never tell with you in movies. Who knows that you have or haven't
seen? I literally said that I've seen this before.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything to us. You could die.
Okay, good point.
But yeah, I mean, and it's much like a lot of horror films. Dogs are one of the first things to notice them.
Yep.
Dogs.
Dogs are all knowing.
Yeah, he's kind of like Michael Myers. He always stalks one person throughout most of the film, or two people.
Wait, does he get noticed by a kid?
In what sense?
Like a kid sees him and is just like, hi, and then he just walks off.
I think you're thinking of The Incredibles.
I know a kid's...
Earl, you know what I mean, right?
I think that's two. Again, I could be wrong. Is this... No, that's okay. But yes, back to this film. They get away from the first chase and they end up going to the police station. And this is something that Michael Bay should learn, is that they give the film time to breathe at this point. they actually kind of, you know, go into the plot and kind of, this is, you know, Sarah Connor believes that Kyle Reese is crazy and the police are listening to his story. He does sound like a historical man who is insane. But while they're going through all this, the Terminator is able to track them down. In one of his iconic lines, he goes to the police station to find out if Sarah Connor is there. They tell him but to come back later, she's given a statement. So he says, I'll be back, and he comes with a giant truck, which he drives through the front window.
Subtle.
Well, when you're a killer robot, you don't need to be subtle.
It's true. You just need to kill. That sounds like the tagline of a movie.
Yes, and
probably
they...
Probably the tagline of the movie.
They again... Duh. It's a Michael Bay movie, I would assume. But then another car chase starts, and they again get away from the Terminator. And this time, they get away for good. Movie over. No, Sarah Connor has one rule. And anytime somebody has one rule, that's the one thing they do. Kyle tells her not to contact anybody. So she calls her mom, who we find out
is a robot.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. But no. This is where we find out about the Terminator's special power, other than being a killer robot from the future, is it can also mimic voices. And it kills Sarah Connor's mom and basically gets her location. Actually, no, she does not. She's smart enough not to go to play location, but he simply just calls back the number and finds out where the hotel is.
She is so good.
Well,
that's like a horror movie trope, too, actually.
Yeah. It is. That's true.
Don't do this one thing. Oh, let's do this one thing.
Exactly. At least at no point did she run towards the noise in this film.
Or she was like, hello? Is anyone there?
Though she does do the final scare where she thinks it's dead and it's not and it comes back. They calm down. This is when Sarah and Kyle get busy and they have their John Connor of the future. And again... Again, they have to be really yucky because they only have sex once in this entire movie, and it proves to be
a fit.
Yeah, it proves to be exactly what they needed. It's a good thing Sarah didn't request to use protection or something.
Dude, the future would have been really fucked then.
Yeah, but you would think. I mean, she did think this guy was crazy a few hours ago.
She's
crazy in love. That's what
she's a very bad judge of characters. What I'm getting from this.
I think she is innocent, and I think this film breaks her innocence, as we find out in the second one.
I mean, it breaks something.
Break me off for peace.
Gross.
But yes, he finds them in the hotel, and this creates the third and final chase scene. And is this our? He's in the tanker, right?
Yes.
Or is he on a motorcycle first and then on the tanker?
Probably the motorcycle first. Motorcycle's cooler.
Yeah.
I remember him being on a lot of motorcycles.
Yes, and they knock him off, and he hijacks a tanker, and they blow that up, and this is when he reveals his... Not exo... Is it endoskeleton?
It's the exoskeleton.
Yeah, exo would be an outside...
His skin would be his exoskeleton in this case.
Yeah.
Technically.
And again...
His true colors, as it were.
Yeah, and kind of like the start of the film, it is kind of dated in how it looks. The face is really frightening, but
yeah, face is pretty awesome.
The face has always been kind of frightening.
Yeah, but the movement is kind of silly because it doesn't move that fast. I guess to make it more threatening, they're both injured because they were part of the explosion as well. And they run into like an abandoned factory.
Yeah, that was a really cool scene, actually. That's the one part of the movie I remember the most.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of grossing up for a lot of this stuff. It is a really phenomenal movie. It's just really hard to, again, to do the piece by piece.
Yeah.
And yeah, during this scene, this is when Kyle dies. Does the Terminator kill him, or does he die from injury sustained?
I think he dies from injury sustained, if I remember right.
Yeah, and then Terminator continues to chase her, and then she squashes him. And what does she say? You terminated you. Is that what she says?
I'll be back. That's what she says.
She says, I'll be back.
They exchange action lines.
She said, there is no fate but what we make.
She says that a lot.
No.
In the second one. But, yeah. And after that, we're a couple of months down the road, and we see that Sarah Connor's pregnant with John, and she's traveling through Mexico.
Now she's the one with sunglasses, too.
Yeah. And there's a little hushy kid who takes her photo and then charges her money.
Yeah.
But the best kid.
That guy's an entrepreneur, all right.
Yeah.
And we find out that this is the picture that Kyle Reese has. Yeah, okay, I guess he does know what she looks like, because he has this picture of her.
Yeah.
So he was waiting on the Terminator. But, yes, this is the picture that we have. Kyle's scene, and this is the end of the Terminator franchise.
She drives off into the season since sunset.
Yes. They would come back a lot later. I think there's 8 years between sequels.
Yes.
In real time or in...
In real time.
Probably. That sounds accurate.
Yeah, it comes out in 90... It's either 91 or 92. I want to say it's 92.
Yeah, it feels like a 92.
No, it looks like it was 91.
Bummer.
Okay, so 7 years. And I will give all the credit in the world to Linda Hamilton. She really got herself in... like, action star buff for that film. And it's one of my favorite kind of evolutions. Because you don't often see this even with horror films. Like, the last girl, like, she'll survive and she'll be back in the next film. But she doesn't become any stronger or wiser for the experience.
Well, she usually becomes wiser. I'm thinking of, like, Scream or Alien. Although in Alien, she does become stronger, too.
Okay, I guess I was thinking of stuff like Nancy... or Jamie Curtis from Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Though Halloween is a bit of a different case because that's literally the same night.
Yeah.
And she does kind of become stronger.
Is that really all the same night in Halloween?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, I mean, Halloween, the first Halloween takes place over, I think, 2 days. But the bulk of the film is Halloween. And it goes up to, like, 10. And then Halloween 2 takes place the rest of the night.
Interesting. That I did not know.
Yeah, that's fresh in my mind because I saw it this week.
It's like it's October or something.
I know. Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, spooky.
But yeah, 7 years they did it to come back, and they would revisit it with Terminator 2, Judgment Day, which a lot of people consider the best in the franchise. I actually prefer 1.
I think I prefer 2.
I think 1 for me.
Most people prefer 2. I think I prefer the atmosphere that 1 creates, where 2 just kind of goes completely action movie. And that's not don't get me wrong, I absolutely love both films. It's like the difference between an IGN scale of a 9.9 and a 9.8. but if I had, and I usually will say, if I had to pick one of the two, I usually pick part one, The Terminator. Like I said, I do prefer the kind of horror angle instead of a pure action blockbuster. And I also kind of prefer Humans versus Machine, where part two is more Machine versus Machine. Or Humans and Machine versus Machine. Mm-hmm. And then there's 3, which I wasn't keen on, because it does want to be
keen on it.
I mean, some people actually will defend it. I mean, there's somebody who will defend everything.
Wow.
My 3 has one of my biggest pet peeves in Hollywood, and I understand why it exists, but it drives me nuts. Whenever you kill off a main character who survives so much in between films,
they always do it was like a really minor thing. It's like cancer.
The other example that I usually bring up is like Final Destination. After surviving all the death traps, he succumbs to like a nail or something in between 1 and 2. I'm like, you couldn't get the guy back for like 5 minutes to kill him off at the start of the film?
Yeah.
That's kind of sad. Let's be real.
And then part 4, which I honestly don't remember.
Oh, it's not good. I remember being kind of on it at the time, but nah, it's really not good.
I remember it not being a Terminator film.
Wait, which one's 4?
Salvation. It's the one with the
from like 2009.
Yeah, it's the one with Christian Bale. I think that is probably the most infamous part of that film is his tirade on the set.
Yeah.
But yeah, because part 1 is like a horror film. Part 2, while it goes more action, it's still a prolonged chase where they're just trying to escape. Part 3 is kind of similar, even though it has the twist in that the Terminator wasn't trying to protect them from these Terminators. The Terminator was trying to get them into place to kind of start the resistance. Part 4 is like, it's in the middle of the war, so it doesn't have that element of suspense anymore. It's like, it's just us versus them. You don't feel like the same connection when they're being chased and hunted throughout the entire film.
Yeah, and then there was this whole thing where, like, the dude has secretly been, like, an undercover Terminator, which they totally ruined during the marketing, which otherwise could have been, like, a pretty interesting reveal.
Yeah, it's one of those odd decisions that you look back on. Not even if you look back on. Like, people said it was stupid back then. That why would you put that in your advertisement? Like, really, I think one of the lines in the trailer is, he's not like us.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And then they even had like a screen of his like, oh shit, of like his face like with the Terminator metal showing.
Yeah.
I wonder.
It was like, okay, we want to show you this, cool part, but no, save that cool part and focus on the other stuff. Like, it's the same thing with Star Trek and Khan. Like, I understand why you kept on saying it, but once you kept on denying it, everybody's like, okay, that guy's just Khan.
I mean, like, we're not stupid. Just say who it is, because it's more insulting to treat us like we're idiots than to just not own up to it.
People just got overly upset about the Star Trek thing, though.
Oh, I mean, in hindsight, it's not a big deal. It's just really funny. Like, it's not him. It's not him. Hey, guys, guess what? It's him.
Yeah,
wink,
it's him
wink. Bet you didn't see that coming.
I think that was my biggest. That was one of the biggest problems of the movies, is that they even tried to explain it, be like, oh, he lied to you. It's like, yeah, no shit. The people who made this movie lied to me. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess the Terminator franchise, I guess the sequentially works as it goes on, even though it's like 1 and 2 are pretty much on par, and then it just kind of jumps off a cliff with 3, and then somehow it finds another level to fall off of with 4.
I think 4 was just an entirely different movie, and they wanted to like cash in on, I don't even know what, but they wanted to...
I think it was on around the time that Sarah Connor Chronicles was on.
Well, no, it was a huge franchise. I mean, it still might be a huge franchise.
Still iconic.
Yeah, they're rebooting it.
Yeah, but it's not like big. It doesn't have like the same staying power as it did back during 2.
Well, I mean that may be true, but you know, people are willing to give anything a second or third or fourth chance.
Or introduce their kids to it.
I'm pretty sure Sonic the Hedgehog proves that.
Burn.
And I was about to say, I actually think it didn't do that well. I was going to say RoboCop, but for what it would cost, it didn't do that well as far as the return goes.
Oh, yeah,
but
RoboCop. I forgot that there was a RoboCop reboot.
Yeah, this year.
that was this year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God. I didn't realize it came out until... like 2 weeks ago?
Oh, Jesus. Where have I been?
When did it come out? Was it 2 weeks ago?
Was that April?
No, February.
Oh, dang.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, a new RoboCop film.
That says a lot about the movie, then.
Yeah.
Oh, it really does. Yeah. When it falls into obscurity like that, you know that it didn't do very well.
Yeah, especially when two different people have, like, different ideas on when it came out.
Yeah, especially, I think even worse is that we actually had a podcast about it this year.
Did we really?
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, well. It's their fault. They shouldn't have made such a forgettable movie.
Yeah, so it's...
Samuel Jackson was in it. Couldn't be forgettable.
Wait, oh, my God.
Yeah, it has a pretty decent cast when you look at it. I think it's like Samuel
Jackson. I mean, apparently it does it. It's not memorable.
Actually, sorry, I mean Lawrence Fishburne.
So yes, is there? Okay, I mean, I guess we might as well talk about this. Do any of you have any hope for Terminator Genisys?
Honestly, I don't even know who's in the movie besides the dragon lady from Game of Thrones.
And
she's in it, right?
Yes, and I believe Jay Courtney.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, it's a good thing. That means you haven't seen a bunch of crappy movies.
Well, okay, what was the last thing he was in?
He was in Divergent?
Oh, God, all right. You could not have not sold me on this actor fast enough.
Okay, just to kind of go backwards on his resume. And I will also say he has been a mainstay on 151 Proof Movie this year. He's been in Divergent. He was in I, Frankenstein.
Oh, God.
He was also in another 80s reboot. I mean, I guess sequel, A Good Day to Die Hard.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
wait.
Wait,
this,
the main character?
Was he
the son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's a person.
That's a word.
Yeah, so...
Wait. Is he... Was he in The Transporter?
I don't think so.
The first one?
No, like in one of the sequels.
No, it doesn't.
Think so.
No.
Okay, I think he was like linked to the transporter or something. I just can't remember.
Linked to the past?
Dun, da, 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 da. According to Wikipedia, he has been on, as far as movies go, Stone Brothers, which I'm just going to be biased and say, based on the name, I can't imagine. Is a great film.
I bet it's about like two brothers involved in crime or MMA fighting.
Hmm. He was on Spartacus: War of the Damned. He was in Jack Reacher.
Oh, I saw that. That's the movie I was thinking of that he was in.
Yeah. So
another one
had,
that wasn't exactly very good.
Yeah, but I mean, I could be wrong. I don't remember him being in a big part of that.
No, he wasn't.
So, yes. Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it, which maybe 10 years ago would have excited me.
Isn't he supposed? Is he supposed to be the villain, or?
I think he's a good guy. It's weird. Because one of the biggest problems is that unlike Terminator, humans age, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is not like he did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Though to be fair, he looks now more like he could be a plastic face for a creature. But,
oh my god, do you remember in, I think it was Terminator Salvation, where they had the original, or like the prototype T, whatever it was, with Arnold Schwarzenegger's face on it?
Yes, that I did.
I just love that they had to like, that they credited the guy whose body that they used it for.
But in the
opening title, they actually credited him when he's not even really in the movie.
But well, he's a body double.
Emphasis on body.
But yeah, this is a prequel. I think this takes. I guess going
I thought
back.
It was a I thought it was a reboot.
It's a reboot prequel because it takes place in the.
So it's a reboot-quel?
Yes.
It's a rebuttal.
I think it takes place in the 60s or 70s.
Like the 1970s?
What?
Oh, you mean the 2060s, okay.
Wait, what?
No, I want to see him explain this one, even as a joke. Sophie, go on.
There wasn't a joke. I just got confused for a moment.
By what?
doesn't the apocalypse take place in like, you know, 2029 or 2029? Yeah, okay. So you said the '60s, I'm just like the 1960s?
Yeah, but how old would Sarah Connor be in 2060?
She wouldn't even be born. That's what
Wait,
confused
what?
Me. In 1960?
She might have. She's not. She's what, 20 something in Terminator?
Yeah.
And that's 84.
Yeah, so she would have been like a little kid.
Yes, which is probably when they come back to try to kill her.
Okay, no, I was just really confused.
Okay, just real quick. Matt Smith is in this.
Oh, God. Ooh. All right. I'm already not interested in this.
J.K. Simmons is in it.
No, I'm back in.
Oh well, Jason.
Listen, if J.K. Simmons isn't going, doesn't have like his Spider-Man J. Jonah Jameson hair, and isn't just like yelling at the Terminator until he gets out of his office, then I don't want to see this movie.
No, he's going to be an Airbender.
Good one. Oh, maybe he'll do like the Cave Johnson thing and just like throw out some gels.
Maybe he'll gel his hair into the J. Jonah Jameson thing.
You're a genius, Dan. This is why I like you. Okay, I'll continue.
I don't know what else to talk about. I don't have much faith for this movie.
Wait, who else saved that? Who was that last name?
Jason Clark.
I really hope it goes well. It goes better than his role in Rise of the Planet of the Dawn of the Apes. Because he kind of fucked up that whole human relations thing.
He does not look like John Connor to me, but
oh, he's supposed to be John Connor?
Yes, I assume. Oh, God. I assume it's going to be like future pass again.
He looks like a toe.
Wait.
I'm sorry, that's mean. He just looks like a toe.
It's not mean, it's just confusing. He's a person, not a toe.
He has the face of a toe.
I mean, when you describe Benedict Blunkelblock as a lizard, lizards at least have faces, toes do not.
He has a generic name. He has the face of a toe. That's the best way. That's the nicest way I can say it.
Well, I mean, they have a lot of confidence in this film. Apparently, it's part of a trilogy with the sequels signed up for 2017 and 2018.
Wasn't Salvation also going to be part
Along
of a trilogy?
With
yeah. That's what I said. If they have
so
plans
say,
for a trilogy.
Like, I mean, everyone has plans for something.
Yes.
Beautiful Creatures had plans.
Everybody has a pen until they get punched in the mouth.
That's a good one.
So, that's going to be Terminator, because I think it has some stiff competition next summer.
It's going to get destroyed. When's it come out?
It's July 1st, 2015 next year.
Yeah, so it's like right in the middle of all like the Marvel movies, too.
I don't necessarily
think
Ant-Man
comes out.
As I say, I don't know if Ant-Man is going to be tough competition.
We'll see.
Will you though?
No, it's out against Magic Mike XXL.
Oh yeah, that's going to be stiff competition.
But, I'm sorry, John Connor, but Magic Mike.
Neither of them deserve to win, but one of them's going to have to.
I think Magic Mike's going to win that.
Channing Tatum though.
Yeah, in a sequel that was all about male strippers. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. It's going to do well.
Where does this go wrong?
Yeah, next year has some really funky sequels, but we'll get to that at the end of next year. End of this year, early next year. So yeah, since this has been a really off-through, at some point we're going to find a movie format that works. What are your final thoughts on the Terminator or in the Terminator franchise?
First one was pretty good.
Second one's pretty good. I mean, it's
not a huge fan of the second one.
It's not the worst trilogy in movies. Like, I don't think the third one is offensively bad. Like,
Jurassic Park 3 bad.
I prefer Jurassic Park 3 over 2.
Really?
Yes.
I don't tend to have a problem with 3, but it's not my favorite. That's kind of how I feel about Terminator 3, I guess.
Yeah, like, I don't feel any way about it. It's one of those films where it's like, it's whatever. Like, I'm not going to sit down and watch it, but I'm not going to tell you not to check it out. Like, you know, there's certain films you have a giant beef against, and you probably, I will tell you not to watch Salvation.
Yeah, like, it's just a popcorn fluff movie. It's like the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie. It was there.
Yeah, and it does have some redeeming moments, like the moment when he's carrying a giant coffin and a turret.
Yeah.
That's pretty. And I love the fact that Sarah Connor buried. She didn't bury her body. She buried his stash of guns. So I will say this much about Terminator. I think Terminator 2 and 3 are guilty of this. They make John Connor so whiny.
God, he is such a little bitch.
He's supposed to be the hero, though.
I know, and that's why it's so annoying. 2 makes a bit more sense because he's like 8.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves to be whiny when he's 8.
Three, he's like in his 20s.
He's like, what, 22, 23?
Yeah.
God, it's stupid Nick Stahl's dopey face.
Yes, and his wife-to-be, spoilers for a 10-year-old movie, is also really whiny. Though, to her credit, she is being kidnapped.
Well, didn't her fiancé also die in the movie, too?
Details.
I mean, I think she had some leeway.
It's not that important.
Oh, yeah, I guess you didn't mention that. That's the other, I guess, twist of Terminator 3, is that the Terminator isn't sent back to protect John Connor. It's sent back to protect his wife. Yes. Any final thoughts from you, Justin?
I like 1, love 2. I try to block most of 3 and 4 out of my mind. Kind of wish Sarah Connor had one more season.
As do I. This is a minor. Okay, we won't end on this. I'll do that later. We'll be back next week with something Halloween themed, which we haven't worked out yet. Probably spooky, spooktacular. So for Justin, Dan, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 192.
We'll be back.